How many is it? Thank you. Oh, I wonder what that was then. You just took the retinas out. How many does that happen to you? Do you know what I mean? It's just like something, it's like being fulfilled. It's like my destiny is just, part of my destiny has happened right there. Or yesterday this happened at dinner. We were having mashed potatoes as part of what we were eating. And I watched my 11-year-old and he'd made, and I know some of you have done this and probably still do. Yeah, the mashed potato volcano. Where you kind of put the hole in the middle and then you pour. And so it looks just like the perfect volcano shape. And then you pour your gravy in really slowly so that it just trickles down the side. And it's like, I have Mount Vesuvius on my plate. It's just perfect. How many of you love to eat pizza crusts? How many of you hate pizza crusts? Always leave the crust to the pizza. I know somebody in the room doesn't like crusts. If you've ever watched a movie and you're all eating pizza, it's the perfect combination. If one of you hates pizza crust and they hand it over to you and you're like, yes, I get extra pizza because they don't like. These are all perfect moments, just little events that remind you that life is good. Life is really good. But life isn't always perfect. Life isn't always the perfect pizza crust or volcano on a plate or grad rafting or song just finishing just as you arrive home. I'm actually going to speak to something that is pretty heavy this morning. And it's the fact that I speak to so many of you and have done for years now in terms of speaking with young people. The reality is that I know and you know that there's a lot of suffering and loneliness, pain, hurt, fear, going on in lives in this room. And for some of you, they're just words. But for others of you, that's your everyday life. And I could pretend, and we could pretend, and you know, I could do a run and a jump and a skip and a backflip into here and just say that how awesome life is and how perfect it is and how great it is. And the reality is that is not real life, because real life is actually when stuff is thrown against you that creates kind of suffering and pain and loneliness and hurt. And those of you that are switching off right now. Because maybe you're not feeling any hurt or pain or wound right now. But I can, as depressing as it is, I can say to you, it'll happen. It'll happen. It'll happen where life will slam into you at full force and you'll feel that pain. It'll happen that for some of you it's already happened. It'll happen where somebody who you love the most will hurt you the most. That maybe one day they're saying how amazing and how incredible you are and how much they love you, and then the next day they leave. And your life is ripped apart. Or maybe you get a phone call and you're told that somebody in your life who you love dearly has got a really bad illness. Or that you find that somebody in you connected with you is really struggling and you know is contemplating stuff that is just horrendous. Maybe there's an addict in your life. Maybe that there's some kind of pain or wound that's going on. And we can close our eyes and put our fingers in our ears and hum really loudly and pretend. But the reality is, these times that we gather together and we worship and we spend time thinking about what God says about stuff, these are sometimes the only times where together we can actually consider real life. I know in individual classes we get great opportunities to talk about real stuff, and that's awesome. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I really feel that as we talk about relationships and stuff, that I want to speak to the wounded. I want to speak to the pained. And no matter how hard we change ourselves, it just seems that we can't change ourselves enough to get rid of those that turmoil that is happening inside. That we can't run hard enough. We can't hide well enough to kind of get rid of those scars. You know, there are certain scars that we're proud of. You know, and how many of you have got a scar that you're reasonably proud of? That as soon as somebody spots it and goes, oh, what's that? You are. Well, let me tell you, I was fighting this great white shark on the Great Barrier Reef, and it just kind of left this thing, and like, no, you did. You fell off your skateboard, get it, you know. And, but you're proud of these scars, and you enjoy telling the story as to what this scar represents, because it represents a moment in your life that you're proud of. But then, depending on where the scar is, depends on whether or not you're proud or not, the type of scar. Because I could point in my hands, or I could point in my knees, or different parts of my body, and go, yeah, there's scars here, and there's scars there, and this and that. And it's kind of proud. But then if you were in a really bad injury, you had a really bad injury, and there was a scar that was created somewhere on your face that disfigured you in some way, that you would be really trying hard to cover that one up. Because that one represents not only physical pain, it represents emotional pain and spiritual pain. And so we try and cover it up. And we're great as Christians at doing this. There are scars in our lives. There's pain and suffering in our lives. Things that have happened in our past that we're trying really hard to forget about. And they've left a scar. And you're trying really hard to cover it up. And then we use the almighty, most popular Christian F word. I'm fine. I'm fine. Don't ask, don't look, don't examine, don't get to know me. I'm fine. And we inject ourselves with probably the most addictive drug, which is called hide. I'll hide. We take our first hit and we're addicted. I'll hide. I'll hide. I'll cover up. I'll run harder. I'll study deeper. I will work hard at making sure that nobody sees the scars and the pain that is actually underneath. I'm fine. And it's a really good Canadian thing too. I've noticed this in Britain. It doesn't happen. I noticed very much so when we came to Canada. It says, "How are you doing? I'm good. I'm good. Really? That's awesome." But really? We cover it up and like, you know, it's just some scars that you just can't cover up. You know, there's blood and there's gore. There's sin and there's failure. There's hurt and there's horror. There's abuse that you just cannot cover up, no matter how many times you use the Christian F word. And we can run and we can hide. And the reality is, and this isn't my statement, wherever we go, there we are. You can climb the highest tree. You can run to the furthest part of the world. You can go and see. You can hear. You can read. You can do anything you like. But the reality is wherever you go, there you are. You're faced with your scars because your scars go with you. You can't leave them behind. And I believe in a God that is okay with that. It's okay with the fact that we carry these scars and these burdens. In fact, the Bible has a word for it, and it's called burdens. There's this element in our life, the stuff that we carry. And in Galatians 6, it says that we're to bear each other's burdens. We're to bear each other's scars. We're designed to be open. And even if you're hating on God right now, you are designed to be open. You're designed for connection. You're designed for relationship. And if you're not in relationship and you're not connected to somebody, then you will feel it. And not only that, people see it. There's just something about somebody who is not connected and not in that friendship. You can, because we're designed that way. In Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 and 10, it says, "But two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. And if one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man or the woman, the girl or the guy, who falls and has nobody to help him up." Who has that burden that is causing life just to feel like you're just falling. You feel like you're just a wreck. Then pity the one who has got nobody there to pick them up. I love watching. We watched it last night. I love watching American Funniest Videos, AFV. There's just something about watching somebody riding a bike or going on a skateboard or something, knowing that something desperately tragic is going to happen, but really, really funny. You know, it's going to involve hitting a crotch or something like that, and it's just like it's funny. But the ones that I can't wrap my head around is the person with the camera videoing like a little baby, And then the baby trips and falls or hangs off the side of their crib or something like that. And they're like, just watching. I don't get that. You know, I'm like, oh, look, my baby's hurting. Just going to keep videoing because I might get $10,000. You know, why are they lobbing the camera, running over to the baby and helping the kid? And I know with my own kids, toddlers have this ability to run. And those of you who've got little brothers or sisters or babysit or whatever, toddlers run at an angle. Have you noticed that? It's like they're weighted. I don't know if it's their heads are heavier than the other part of their body or something, but they're weighted forward and they run like this. And it's almost inevitable they're going to trip on some invisible thing, slam into the floor, and then all hell breaks loose. It's just, but they run at this angle. And what kind of person is like watching a baby run off, sees it trip and go, ha! Oh, that must hurt. Looks like it's bleeding. Where's my camera? You know, it's like you're running alongside. You run to the baby. You pick the baby up. You hold the baby. You comfort the baby. You try and get the owie to disappear. Or worse, you know, and this has happened a lot, is where you're holding a little baby's hand, walking along. Baby trips on the invisible force again. They kind of flail. And what do you do? Any of you experienced this? You yank the arm up. So the baby's like this now. Yank the arm up to stop them. It's just instinctive. You can't stop yourself from doing it. You're like, pull. But then there's this thing called, and I know this from experience, I think it's called, if I remember rightly, a nursemaid dislocation in the elbow. It's actually called nursemaid because it used to be the nursemaids that used to walk with the baby, and when the baby trips up, they would yank the baby's arm. It would dislocate the elbow. And the reason I know that is it's happened twice to Jack. It's happened twice. First time we took him to the hospital, and he was freaking out. His arm was like this, and he was holding it. He was only lot two, something like that. He was just going mental. And the doctor put his finger in there and lifted his arm up and twisted it, and it just popped back in, and it was instant fine, you know? But then it happened a second time. It happened a second time, and you'd think we'd learn, but apparently there's a bit of a weakness there. So second time, I'm like, do I really want to go and wait for 3 hours in the hospital? Nah. Went on the net, just checked about what you were doing. He was freaking out. Now, it sounds like I did this with a smile. Trust me, I didn't. But I kind of remembered what the doctor did, and so put my thumb in there, lifted his hand up, and twisted it. And I felt this tiniest little pop, and it was back in there. But the thing is when babies fall, you want to be there to lift them up. So my question is this. With all the scars and the pain and the hurt that some of you are experiencing right now, and all of you at some point will experience, that when you fall and life just seems to press you down, do you have somebody who recognizes that you've fallen and runs to help? Or better still, do you have somebody who is walking alongside of you, ready to catch you when you fall? That maybe they will save you from the pain of falling all the way to the floor, and they'll pick you up? Do you have that person in your life? Do you have that group of friends? Do you have that relationship? Or do you have a group of friends that sees you fall, sees that life is painful and hurtful and wounding right now, and stands at a distance and goes, ha! That must hurt. Looks like you're bleeding a bit there. Where's my camera? Those people that you think you're really close to, in reality, are they going to be there when you have that experience, or that you're feeling that right now, that you know that somebody is going to be there? Because here's the thing. We all have blind spots. We all have parts of our lives that we just don't see. We all have decisions that we're about to make that we just don't see what the result might be. There's things about you that you don't see about yourself that other people see. Kind of scary. Do you have somebody in your life who cares enough about you that is willing to open their mouth and say, you know what? I've seen something that you may not have seen. I kind of warned you about something before you fall. Look, there's something coming up. Don't trip and fall. There's a situation that you need to avoid. There's a person that you shouldn't be hanging around with. Why is it that you're getting drunk on such a regular basis? Why would you smoke that? Somebody who loves you enough and cares about you enough, who is walking alongside of you, that when something is approaching and they know you're going to trip and fall and it's going to result in pain, do you have that person in your life? Because if not, find them and foster that relationship. Don't stick with the people who may be kind of fun all the time, but is you got lots and lots of friends, but they're this shallow. Way better. There's nothing wrong with having lots of friends, but way better that you have some depth, and it's usually just one or two people. They're going to walk alongside you and pick you up. Can I say this? There are teachers in the room doing the job of walking alongside you and picking you up and care enough about you to actually point things out before you trip and fall. And if you do trip and fall, don't think any less of you, but will come and pick you up and care for you. Teachers in this room, do you know why I know? Because I see and we pray for you, and I hear the stories, and you come and tell me, and you share the stories with me. There are people in this room who love you and care for you. You might not realize it now, but when you trip and fall, guess who it'll be? Who will be there ready to pick you up? And you've experienced that, because I've received the phone calls at odd times of the night. Life has slammed into me, Glenn, will you pray for me? Or we just hide, we cover the scar up. I'm fine. And it says in verse 11, also, well, can I just say this? Talking about the, do you care enough? Maybe there's someone in your life who you're walking alongside, but you're not saying anything. And you know that they're heading for a fall. You know that they're heading for pain. You know that they're going in a direction that is only going to result in pain and hurt and wounding for them. And you're letting them walk. Do you remember that commercial? Maybe it was in Britain. I don't know. But there was a commercial about, there was like this girl stood on a dock side. This has just come to me. So on a dock, and her friend is drowning. Do you remember this? Is this in Britain? So there's a girl drowning in the water, literally crying out for help right in front of her. And her friend is like this, just watching. And it was about drugs. That is no friend at all. Because it sends shivers down my back even thinking that anybody could do that. You'd be in there and you would be saving them out of the water, surely. But maybe there are people in your life right now that are drowning, that are feeling that pain and feeling that oppression and feeling pressed down and wounded and pain. They've got scars, they're trying to hide, and you see it and you know it, and you're... Because, well, what would they think of me? I don't know, I just throw that out there. Verse 11, also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? You know, there are winter seasons of our life, and we need to be close to people so they can bring warmth to us and remind us there's a spring and a summer coming. Do you have that? Do you have that? Are you that friend? That somebody is going through a winter season and you're holding them, and you're giving them some of your warmth, that you're creating some smile in their life, because that is all they have. Are you that kind of friend? Or are you just like watching it from a distance? Verse 12, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. There is safety in numbers. There's safety and protection when you get looked after. This is why church is so powerful. Because you disconnect yourself from what church is about, which is the connecting with people and getting deeper with people and transparent, is when you have that, there's safety in numbers. That when there's a fear about the future, you can go and you can run next to people who you know are going to look after you. Do you have that support? In 1994, there was a fire called the South Canyon Fire in Colorado. I personally don't remember it. Maybe some people in the room do, but this fire was a horrendous fire. The flames were up to 300 foot in the air, and they traveled at 9 foot a second. To give you an illustration, what I hear, say the corner, that is probably, I don't know, people help me out, that's maybe 9 foot. So every second, the flames, sometimes 300 foot high, from me to where the speaker is, would travel every second. This was a ferocious fire. And there was firefighters that would go in and they would battle against the flames and try and create fire walls. And there was one team, and the number one rule is always plan your escape route. Go towards a fire knowing that you can get out quickly. So depending on the angle that you come at, you always need to have an escape route. And so the leader of this group of 12 firefighters, and we know this because of their radio communication back to the headquarters, they planned an escape route, and it looked great. It was up on a hill. It was far enough from the fire where they could get refuge. It was roughly 150 yards away from where they were working. And so they considered this as, yeah, that's good. That's our escape route. And they started fighting the fire. But the problem is after some time, they were exhausted. They're carrying so much gear that when it came to a point where they needed to get to the escape route quickly, they could only go 3 foot every second. And so they started to run towards their escape route. They started running uphill, exhausted, carrying this gear to their escape route. The fire was fierce. It was strong. It was burning them. And then eventually, and pretty quickly, they got completely consumed. And the radio went static. And every one of them died, less than 100 foot away from their refuge. And the thing is this, and commentators will say this, is that you always in a fire have an escape route that is easily accessible. Never uphill, downhill preferably, so that they could actually get to the place where there is safety. So here's my question for you guys. Do you have relationships and friendships that are uphill or downhill? Do you have relationships that are easy to get to when the flames are burning hard in your life? That you know that they're going to be there for you. You know that there's safety and refuge. And you know that they're going to be close to you. Do you have that relationship? And no matter how much you smile and smirk, the reality is when the wall of flame is chasing you down, that becomes a reality you need. Or do you have uphill relationships? They look good. They look good. They look safe. They think, you know what? They're going to be there for me. And then the flames come. And you start running towards them, and they just seem to be a place where you can never get. There is not safety. There is not refuge. There is not somewhere where they're going to look after you. They might look good, but the reality is they're uphill relationships, not downhill relationships. And we are created for relationship. We're created to have these connections. Do you have that? And if you don't, if you know inside of you don't, then you need to take a really good look at your friendships and start fostering and putting yourself, you know what? It takes a risk to put yourself out there and connect with people. You need to get to that youth group. You need to get to that place and put yourself in a place of refuge and safety and start fostering these relationships, because that's what you were created for. In John 15, and I'm going to finish with this. There's the story of the prodigal son, where the father throws this huge welcome home party for his kid who is covered in scars, who's covered in burdens, who is ashamed, is tired of hiding, and he just trudges home. And his dad throws him a welcome home party. He says this, "Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." It's a welcome home party. It is not a never left home party. It is not everything is fine party. It's a, you know what, he's screwed up and he's covered in scars, but he's back now. The reason to celebrate was not that things were perfect. The kid had blown it. He'd messed up so badly. But he was not a source of shame. It was a cause to celebrate for his dad when he came back. And listen to this. I'm going to read it so I get it right. The gross of being lost and dead was part of what made being found and alive so bright and true and undeniable. Let me say it again. The gross of being lost and dead was part of what made being found and alive so bright and true and undeniable. Because guys, if you've ever experienced that relationship from God where there is safety and there's connection and there is joy in the midst of all the flames, there is a joy knowing that you can have that, and the scars make it even more real. I don't know if you hate God or left Christianity years ago for some really valid reasons. I don't know. But what I do know is I know my scars. I know the things that I've messed up on. I remember as a teenager, and my wife stood right there. Okay, so I'm going to say this in front of her. I remember as a teenager leading worship on a Sunday and getting drunk on the Friday. I remember that. That's a scar to me. I'm not proud of it, but it's the reality of what was there. I remember leading Bible studies as a youth leader and then messing around with girls in the week. I remember. It's a scar. It's there. And I don't know what your scars are like, and I could list from now until next week the scars that I have, and so can you. But I don't know what your scars are, but I do know this, guys, that God loves me. And I have people in my life that love me. I have downhill relationships. I have people that I can run to, and I have a God who loves me passionately, regardless of how messed up and scarred I am. And I know that I cannot hide. And I know that no matter how thick the makeup is, the scars are always going to be there. So why not just peel away it all and go, God, thank you that you love me. Let's have a party. I want that coming home party. And at times, I've been a crappy husband and a bad dad and an embarrassing son. I've been that, and some days I still am. But I can still come to a God who loves me enough and people who love me enough and have that connection, because that is what life is about. So let's stop hiding. It's okay for life to be painful. It's okay. Because there are people in this room who love you. There are people in this room who care for you. There are people in this room who are running alongside of you. And you may be stumbling. But I tell you what, when you stumble, you usually cry out for help and put your hands up to try and stop yourself. You don't just kind of... So maybe it's time to cry out for help. Because I tell you what, we're having a welcome home party and you're invited. And it's no fun without you, because we can't make fun of you and be sarcastic about you. And there's this amazing relationship opportunity with God that you come to him because Jesus died, all those scars with him, all that pain, all that shame, and you'll try and hide it and you'll inject yourself with that drug that is addictive for the rest of your life called hide, and it ain't gonna work. And I know because I talk to people who are way older than me that are still addicted to it. Don't come close. I'm fine. God loves you so much, guys. And if we could get that vertical relationship right and our horizontal relationships right, that is what life is about. And so I'm pleading with you. And this stuff keeps me awake. I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning the other morning thinking through this and praying through this, because the only reality, the only thing that is real that you can hold on to is the fact that God loves you. So stop hiding. Present yourself to him, surrender yourself, and say, God, here I am with all the shame and the scars. Forgive me. And just like that dad, he'll throw a home, welcome home party. And then look for people to connect with and have a relationship with. And that's what I'm going to pray for. And I'm not one of those people who say, let's throw your hands up in the air and say, okay, how many of you of those want to make a good relationship with God? And blah, blah, blah. Because you know what? You leave that room and you go back to your class. The reality is a hand up in the air in here means squat over there. But what I do know is there are people in this room who care enough to be able to talk to you and pray with you. Seek them out. Let's stop hiding. Imagine what this place would be if it was that safe refuge, that downhill refuge you could run to every morning knowing that you were going to be cared for. That's why we do what we do in this school, I hope. Let's pray. Father, Lord, the last 30 minutes have been my prayer, God, that the young people in the room that are experiencing awful wounds and pain, trying to cover up scars, that Lord, that they would just sense your presence and your closeness and they would run to you, that Holy Spirit, you would draw them to yourself, that they would see you just like that son saw his father, that they would see you at a distance and start running towards you. And that, God, they would have the reality right now, more than anything else, that reality sink in, that you are there ready to run towards them and hold them. And Lord, I pray there are friends in this room who care enough to say something. And I pray, God, that those people who do not have those connections will put themselves into a position where they can foster those connections. Lord, I thank you that you created us for relationship with you and with each other. So Holy Spirit, do your work, I pray. In your precious name, amen. Amen. Guys, as ever, you know how to contact me. You know where your teachers are.